From before he was born until after he comes back, it'll take me about 16 or 17 Sunday nights to complete it. But I thought Christmas and New Year's would be a good time to start that. I've been wanting to teach on the life of Christ on Sunday nights. Because, you know, Sunday nights is when people are more serious Bible students come on Sunday night. And this morning, it was pretty serious. But the life of Christ is a pretty serious subject. Turn to Proverbs chapter 3. We're not going to start on it tonight. So turn to Proverbs chapter 3. And Proverbs chapter 3. We have started in Sunday school on the book of Proverbs. And we're going to do it verse by verse. So if you don't come to Sunday school, come. And that's the way I teach Sunday school, is verse by verse. And I think that we can learn more that way. Proverbs chapter 3, but tonight I'm going to just go ahead and preach this. And don't worry, when we get to this in Sunday school, I won't repeat myself. All right? Or if I do, I won't remember that I did. Amen. All right, Proverbs chapter 3. And now I'm going to preach tonight on how to be a successful Christian. Of all people on planet Earth, Christians should be successful at least at Christianity. Amen? Now, we may not be successful. I'm not a brain surgeon. I never would be. But if you want me to practice, I'll do it on you. But I'm not a farmer. I can't hardly grow nothing. But I tell you what I can do. I can read the Bible and go by the instructions. Amen? My wife keeps telling me, trying to get me to cook, and I can't cook. I draw the line at cooking. You don't want to eat what I cook, even if I could. I don't cook. I ain't going to do it. I just can't do it. I burn it. I blister it. I whatever. It comes out raw or something. She said, all you got to do is read the instructions. If you can read the instructions, you can do a recipe. I said, no, it's got to be in you. There's something about a person that cooks. It's in them. And I'm one that can't. But I can read the Bible and be the best Christian I can be. Amen? Now, I may not be the best at everything, but I can be the best Christian I can be. So let's look at chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance. That don't mean your leftovers either. And with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. That's unfermented, not old. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Amen. We have been studying the book of Revelation on Wednesday night. And if you paid attention last Wednesday night, if you was here, we found out, some of us already knew, that in the Bible, and in probably, I guess we could say, the ministry, for every counterfeit, there is an original, which is the truth. And the counterfeit is modeled after the original, but with changes. Yeah, are you with me? All right? And so in today's world that we live in, there's a lot of so-called prosperity gospel preachers that are preaching the prosperity gospel, we call it. That's where send in $100, buy this oil, buy this rag, and you'll never be sick, and you'll always be rich, and all that stuff. And we laugh at them, and we make fun of them, but there is some truth in what they say, but they have perverted the original. Y'all understand what I'm saying? So for every counterfeit, like the Antichrist, there's a Christ. And for every counterfeit biblical teaching, there is an original biblical teaching that is truth. Are y'all with me? The prosperity gospel is something that's come along in the past. Well, it's not the first time it's come along, but in our lifetime, it's come along in the past couple of generations. And such is the case with false preachers, false teachers, false prophets, false pastors, Joel Osteen, Eddie Young, Creflo Dollar, Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland. We used to call them name it and claim it preachers. Y'all remember that when we called them that? We called them name it and claim it preachers. Well, they're preaching from the original truth. They've just twerked it a little and made it wrong. See? So then we as fundamentalists who believe the Bible to be the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, we shy away from that. We say, well, we don't want to be recognized with that crowd. So we start laughing at them. We make fun of them. And then pretty soon we lose a biblical truth because a counterfeit took it away from us. Do you understand what I'm saying? And people come to this church, they say, boy, this church is loud, like a Pentecostal church. Well, all churches used to be like that. And counterfeits came along and did it unbiblically and added things to it and messed it up, see? And they stole our blessing. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so churches, they no longer praise the Lord like they used to, and they don't shout the praises of God, you know, and the little ladies don't wave their hankies anymore, you know. Some of y'all don't even remember that, do you? Boy, you used to go to those churches, even the Baptist churches, Camp Bobby, remember, camp meetings, things like that. The Lord gets strong and the power of God come down, and pretty soon you'd see them little old ladies, you know, and they'd be waving those hankies, and even if they didn't shout, they'd be waving their hankies, and some of them get to shouting, "Woo!" down there at Brother Buck's church, those Lumbee Indians. You ever been down there? Those women scared me. I got to preaching, "Woo! Woo!" They shouted me out. I had to quit preaching. I couldn't hear myself above them shouting. They was waving their hankies, "Woo! Woo!" And I was preaching on hell. Hey, they didn't care. They were shouting, praising God. And people say, well, that's what them crooks do on television. No, that's what we all used to do. They just took it and stole it and perverted it. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? Well, in our Bible, in Proverbs, we have several biblical truths here that I want you to look at. Number one, if you will, I want you to look at verse 5 and 6. Look at verse 5 and 6. Now, a biblical Christian can be successful because, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. We can live a successful life if in all our ways acknowledge him. Amen? If we submit to him and acknowledge his will and his word and his work in our life, we will be guided by the Holy Spirit, by him. Sometimes when we don't know what to do, it's because we're not trusting in the Lord with all our heart, and we're trying to lean to our own understanding, and we fall flat on our face. I hate it when Christians say this, well, I'm just trying to figure this out. Well, quit trying to figure it out. Pray about it. See what the Bible says about it. Acknowledge what God says, and then either do it or don't do it. Come on. Bunch of y'all hadn't been doing that, have you? Amen. You don't have to call up Aunt Sue our sister Blabbermouth down there at the church that loves to get on the telephone and talk to her about it. What you need to do is start walking, talking, living in all thy ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path, and you'll never have a problem with it, see? Those that have a problem with a successful Christian life are those who don't do that, see? And then you know what you do? You try to figure out a different way. That's a counterfeit way, see? So you can't be successful that way. But you can be successful. Boy, I've heard people say this. I just can't be a Christian. Well, that ain't what the Bible says. I've even heard Christians say, well, I try, but I just can't be a Christian. Yes, you can. The problem is you're not walking in His way and following His word and giving heed to His spirit and acknowledging Him in everything you do. Yes, you can't be a Christian if you're not. Hey, if you're doing something that you can't acknowledge Him in, then you're not in His way. You're a failure. You're not going to be a success in your Christian life. For instance, I was invited to a supper one time, and me and my wife, we went to supper with some people she worked with, and I thought it was going to be good. One of the men was a deacon at the First Baptist Church in Clover. Another one was a Christian. I thought, well, this will be all right. And went over there, and they had a big old spread on the table, fancy food, you know, with the fancy eating utensils. And I didn't know what half of them things was for, but they looked good, you know. And it was all laid out there, and my wife was elbowing me, telling me not to tear stuff up or make fun of the food. And but then somebody said, well, let's say the blessing. Well, I looked over there, and he done got out a big two or three big old bottles of wine, and they done started pouring, and another one had a beer in his hand. And I thought, what am I going to do, Lord, if they call on me to say the blessing? I can't ask the blessing on alcohol. They didn't, thank God. They called on that deacon that goes to First Baptist in Clover. And he prayed over it like there wasn't a thing wrong with it. But you see, I would have had to say, no, I can't pray over that. I used to work at a place, and they had big Christmas parties, and they paid for everything. And the boss man came to me and said, Ron, we know, I was real young, said, we know you're a young preacher and you're going to Bible college, and we want you to open our Christmas party and our Christmas meal with prayer. And I knew what it was going to be. And I said, are you going to have alcohol? Yep. Yeah, we always do. But that ought not stop you from praying. I said, I can't pray over the alcohol. How can I ask God to bless that stuff when so many people's killed by it and it's ruined so many families and so many women and so many children? I can't pray over that stuff, see. I was acknowledging Him when I said that. They knew what I meant. They knew it. And listen, while I was going to Bible college, listen to this. I was trying to go to Bible college in Greenville, Tabernacle Bible College, Dr. Harold Seitler, some of y'all might remember him, wonderful, great man of God. And went up there, and I couldn't find a job. And so I had to come back to Rock Hill and get a job. And I was working up in Charlotte at Bendix Brake Company. Big Ford trucks. We made brakes for them. That'll keep you out from in front of big Ford trucks right there. I helped make the brakes. And but they made those big brakes, you know. There was this guy in there. He was a Lutheran. And he told me one day he learned my story, and he kind of liked me. He took up with me. He was a Yankee, and I forgave him for that, but we went on with our lives. And so he came to me one day. He said, Ron, did you know that I can get you a check right now to pay for all your 4 years of Bible college? I can get you a check right now if you'll take it. I said, how in the world are you going to do that? He said, well, every year, he said, I belong to the Masons, and every year we finance preachers' education. He said, we have thousands of Baptist preachers and all kind of preachers. He said, and we pay for their education. All you got to do is join the Mason. I said, I'm sorry. I can't do that. He said, what? I said, I can't. It offended him. I said, if I took that check to a fundamental Baptist Bible college and laid it on their desk, they would laugh at me and say, boy, is this some kind of joke? You're not getting a cult to pay for your Bible college, are you? I said, they wouldn't even take it. He said, so you're not going to take it? I said, no. He said, well, go to... I said, I've been trying to tell you, I can't go to hell. I couldn't go to hell if I wanted to. I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm already seated in heavenly places. God gave me a promise. He's never broke his word. I'm going to heaven, so you might as well quit wasting your breath and telling me where to go. He never did understand it. But the point being, there's an easy way out. I could have said, well, it's for Bible college. Yeah, but it wouldn't be in all my ways acknowledging him. That way I wouldn't have been acknowledging him by taking money from a corrupt organization that teaches false doctrine. I would not have been acknowledging Jesus Christ in all my ways. Amen? All right. So, if you want to be a successful Christian, you want the blessings of God, in all our ways acknowledge him. Now, I want you to look at this other one. Look at verses 7 and 8. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Boy, that just marks off about 75% of people, don't it? Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. James says, run from it. Resist the devil. Run from him. And look, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Now that guy on television, he's going to say, I got this hanky right here, and I done prayed over it like the Apostle Paul did, and if you send me a $100 donation or more, I'm going to send you that hanky, and you lay it on your sickness, you'll get well. That ain't nowhere in the Bible. That ain't nowhere in the Bible. James says, call the elders of the church together and let them pray over you and anoint you with oil. It didn't say that, call that crook on television. Are y'all still with me?
Right.
You're not mad at me, are you? I don't care if you are or not. So he says, if you'll fear the Lord, look at it. He said, if you'll fear the Lord, stay away from evil, it will be health to thy navel. You know why he said that? That's where your mama gave you all your health, right there. Every time I show my granddaughter a Gloria picture to my mama, Mama looks there and Mama says this. She laughs. She says, ain't she fat? She says, you're just so fat and round. Ain't she fat? She says that every time. My mama ain't that big round. Ain't never been fat. And she'll just laugh. But the reason she's that way is because my daughter was healthy when she had her. See? And so, if you'll fear the Lord, he'll pump health into you. And then not only that, but look, if you'll run away from evil, he says, it'll be like health, look at it, it'll be like marrow to thy bones. Do you know the worst cancer there is? Bone cancer. It gets down in the marrow of your bones, and it eats away at that marrow, and that marrow produces blood. You ever wonder where your blood come from? It's coming through your marrow. And see, that marrow, have you ever eat chicken? Did you do like a lot of Southerners and break it open and eat that marrow out of the middle of it? You ain't never been poor. If you'd been poor, you'd have done that. Amen? Hey, you go eat chicken with a poor man or a poor woman, you'll find that bone when it comes out, it's just as slick and shiny. They didn't eat the gristle. They didn't eat everything, man. That bone is, and then if he's black, you'll see him crack it open and eat that marrow out of it. Have y'all never seen anybody do that? Well, I used to work with a man. That bone would be clean outside and inside by the time he got through eating it. And they tell me that bone marrow, is the most healthy thing that you can put in your body, because that's what produces the blood and that's what produces the health. Now listen, you get sick in your bones and you're going to die. You're going to die. Now, he said, you want to be healthy? Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. Let me tell you something, young people. I'll tell you how to solve the AIDS problem. Depart from evil. Depart from evil. People that get married, one man, one woman, don't have AIDS. Come on, help me, folks. Hey, those that run around with that wicked crowd, and they succumb to the wicked and the evil, they're the ones that get AIDS and die. Amen. Did you know the Bible says that if you'll obey your father and your mother, you'll live long on the earth? That's what it says. A rebellious child is going to die young. You got my word on it. Well, why is that, preacher? Well, a rebellious child that does not fear the Lord and doesn't live right, they're going to try stuff that ain't good for them. They never would took up smoking if they was living right and fearing the Lord, because they said, boy, I better not start that. Lord might let me get cancer. Amen? And by the way, all of these sins, drinking liquor, smoking dope, smoking cigarettes, loose living with the AIDS and the homosexuality and all that stuff, every bit of it's just like playing Russian roulette. You might not have caught it this time. Listen, it might have not shot you this time, but try it again. Let's see. And then try it again. And eventually, you're going to die young. Why? Because you didn't fear the Lord. You didn't depart from evil. Matter of fact, you ran to it. And now look at you. There's some of us right now suffering from our past lives, and we're saved and we're on our way to heaven, and we're suffering from our past sins because they have caught up with our body. Amen? And it's only by the grace of God some of us are still alive. Get to naming the friends of yours that's already died and gone. And then get to thinking about them. That guy that was life of the party, he didn't live long. That old girl that's life of the party, she didn't live long. She's dead and gone. That liquor, that dope, that sexual disease, whatever it was, killed them young. But if you don't believe it, you young people start talking to us old people. We'll give you some names. 16 years old and they died. 17 years old and they died. 18 years old and they died. 20 years old and they died. And why? Because they could have been healthy if they just feared the Lord and departed from evil. But they were wise in their own eyes. You see, that ain't going to happen to me. I'm too tough. I done figured this thing out, man. I got a plan. Yeah, you're going to die and go straight to a devil's hell. That's what you're going to do. And you're not going to live long. Amen? But on the other hand, you can be healthy. He said, look, he said, depart from evil, fearing the Lord is like getting a blood transfusion, marrow to the bones. Amen? Now, I don't know how many of y'all have ever seen anybody dying with cancer. But usually when somebody's dying with cancer, especially leukemia, when that blood gets so thin and the marrow's not producing blood like it ought to anymore, they get weak and you'll see them, they can barely go. You know, sometimes they'll get down to bed. Then they'll take them to the hospital and they'll give them a what? A blood transfusion. And the next day you go in there and see them, they think, boy, I can play basketball. Boy, I'm feeling good. And they think they're well. See? But what's going to happen is that body that destroyed the first blood is going to destroy the second blood too after a while. And why? Because something has gotten into their body that didn't belong there, and sin and wickedness and evil does not belong on the Christian. And he said, if we depart from it, we will be healthy. Then look at verse 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with thy substance. Now what's your substance? That's your stuff. That's your stuff. You know, when God saved me, He saved my house. I'm talking about my wooden house. He saved my car. He saved my bank account. He saved my clothes. He got it all. When God saved you, when you accepted Christ, listen to this, He saved your substance. Because you would have wasted it in riotous living. You would have thrown it away. You'd have give it up. Something would happen to it. It's only by the grace of God we have a house. Come on, help me. Now he says, honor him with your substance. Rick, bump that heater down one notch. And with the first fruits of all thine increase. Did you see that? Not the last one, but the first one. The first fruits of thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Do you see what he's saying? You honor the Lord with what you already got. You give Him your first fruits of what's coming in, and then He'll keep your barns full with plenty, and your presses will burst out, you'll produce more. What He's saying is, listen, righteous living produces, and it's successful. A couple used to come here. They don't come here anymore. They gone to the other side. They've passed away, so you wouldn't know them if they were still living. Nice older man, woman, had never been good with their money, had never been faithful with what God had given them, never had. Older people. And that's sad to see older people in their last days don't have a thing, don't have nothing. And they'd wasted it. Even after they got saved, they wasn't faithful with their money or nothing. They lost it. They didn't have anything. They'd lost their house. They was having to live with a son. They'd lost everything. And but they was coming here, and they was getting blessed. And I don't know what you give. I don't look. I tell them, now my wife keeps the books, and she does a good job at it. But I don't look, and I don't ask, and I don't want to know, because it might affect the way I think about you. It might. You say, preacher, you ain't supposed to be like that. I know I ain't, but you're supposed to give. And I ain't supposed to have to think about it. I ain't supposed to have to worry about paying the rent or paying the light bill or buying what the church needs. So I don't want to know. My wife knows. If I ask her, she'll tell me. I never looked, but they came to me one day and they said, Pastor, we don't have the money to tithe. So can we clean up the church in the place of tithing? I said, you can clean up the church. And I'll be happy if you do. It'll bless me. It'll bless the church. But that doesn't replace your tithing. Y'all don't get quiet on me now. That doesn't replace your tithing. He says it right here. Here's why they were not blessed. Honor the Lord with thy substance. They didn't do that. They wasted their substance. And with the first fruits of thine increase. They didn't give a dime. They didn't give a dime. Now, first fruits means the first, not leftovers. Here's what most people do. Well, they'll do like this. It'll come to the end of the month, and they'll say, well, there's $150 for that television. There's $100 for the cable bill. There's $100 for my telephone payment. There's $100 for groceries. And I got a dollar left over. I'm going to give that to the Lord. Now, wait a minute. Don't quit shouting now. That's not their first fruits. That's their last. That's the leftovers. Now, look, we as children of God, there's no way that if Jesus came to our house tomorrow, He said, I'm coming for supper. Now, I ain't preaching on money. Don't get nervous. I'll get off this in a minute. There's no way that if He came to your house tomorrow, you say, good, the Lord's coming. I'm going to give Him that old leftover greasy turkey and dressing. Would you? Everybody in here say, honey, tell your husband, got to go to the store, baby, got to get this, got to get that. The Lord's coming to eat supper with us, and we don't want Him to have no leftovers. We want Him to have the best we got. So go down there and splurge. Don't hold back. Get Him the best we got. Ain't that the way we think? Well, that's what He says about our increase and our substance that we're to give Him. And listen, I go out this door about every other week, and there'll be a big old bag of junk sitting out there beside the back door. You know what it is? On Sundays, we allow this group to come here. None of them come to this church, but they have a swap thing out there in the parking lot. They used to have it up here, and the people run them off. It's poor people. And what they do, they open their trunks, and they swap things with each other. And there's usually about 50 of them out there. And this little girl come over here, you know, and that one's outgrown her clothes, so she'll get some clothes from there, and then that one will go over here, you know, and get some clothes from there. And they swap things. It's a swap meet. They don't charge. They just swap stuff. Well, most of the time, what they have left over ain't worth having. And they leave it at the back door of the church. Well, we're going to give this to the Lord. You know what I do with it? I throw it in the trash. The Lord don't want our junk. Come on. He don't want our junk. He wants our first fruits. He wants our best. And if we give Him that, now here's a promise. He said, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. He said, you're going to have more than you can. Now, I don't care what you say about that TV preacher. I usually don't agree with him on everything because I ain't selling handkerchiefs. I'm not selling any anointing oil. If you want some of that, go down to the bookstore. They sell it down there. We're not going to make any promises other than what the Bible says. Honor him with your substance and your first fruits, and God will take care of you. All thy ways acknowledge him. Now, listen. And Bully Fogmare used to say this. And I hadn't been saved long, and I didn't know what it meant. But here's what he said a lot of times. He said, I'd never seen a saved, living right, tithing Baptist that needed anything. God takes care of them. Is that the truth? That's the truth. Now, I'm not trying to get you to give more money. I don't know who gives what. And thank God, if you give a dollar, that helps pay the light bill. And don't quit coming because you say you ain't got no money, though you usually do, because you can buy cigarettes and Pepsis and Mountain Dews and have cable television and cell phones. People come to me, they say, preacher, I need church to help me pay my rent. And they got a cell phone that's got the internet on it, and it's got all kind of extra junk on it. And they pay a dollar for this app, a dollar for that app, a dollar for a song. And they come over here and say, Lord, I ain't got no money. Would you give me some money, Lord? You know what I started doing? I look at them. If I smell cigarettes, I say, you smoke? They say, yeah. I said, you could get $30 now for a carton of those? Is more than that? I ain't smoked since there's 40 cents a pack. I quit when they were 40 cents a pack. Now they're $5 a pack. Amen. Here's what I tell them. You know, you got $30 you're blowing away in smoke. Why don't you quit smoking and buy you something to eat? Why don't you get rid of that cell phone? Are you expecting an important call for a new job or something? Give that booger up and buy you a place to stay or something to eat. I don't just hand out money no more. And then I always tell them this. You know, if you'll get thoroughly right with God, he'll take care of you. He'll supply your needs from his riches in glory. And you won't go hungry. Matter of fact, he promises you right here, your barns will be full, and you'll have plenty, and your presses will run over. Now let's be honest. Well, to be the Christian business people are usually the most successful in town. You know why? Because they obey that. I've had two Christian millionaire friends in my life. Now, they didn't give me no money. Don't worry about that. They didn't give me no money. But they gave away a lot of money, and God blessed them for it. When we was building that church over yonder, one of them called me one day and said, Brother Ron, it was like January the 3rd. He said, Brother Ron, I heard y'all building a church. I said, yeah. He said, could you use $10,000? I said, wait a minute, let me check. Yeah, I think we can, brother. Ma'am, just how you want to do that? He said, well, I'm going to send you a check, but I was going to do it anyway, and I need to knock it off my taxes, so I'm just going to send it to you post-dated for December the 30th. I said, amen, brother. Go right ahead. We took kids to his camp. For about 18 years, we'd take 140 kids up there. When we first started going, he said, it's $10 a head. He said, I wouldn't even charge you $10, but if I don't make you pay something, they won't appreciate it. He said, $10 a head, and that'll help pay for the food. And 3 or 4 years later, it had gone up to $25. But still, that wasn't nothing. Do you know how much Christian camp costs for a week? $300, $400. And I said, well, if they can't get it? He said, bring them anyway. Bring them anyway. And I'd bring, half of them would have it, half of them wouldn't. I'd bring them anyway. He never questioned me. He never questioned me. And God blessed that man. You wouldn't believe how God blessed that man. Amen. And he tied to his local church, and he gave to others. And listen, he took care of what God gave him, and God kept giving him more. And you know what he told me? He said, Brother Ron, I can't outgive God. He said, I tithe 50%, And I was saying I was going to live off 50%, but now I find out I don't even need 50% of what I make. He said, I really live off about 10% of what I make, and the rest of it I give it away because I got to pay taxes on it anyway. Now, he wasn't bragging. He was just giving me a good example. Now, I'm going to have to go on. I can tell I'm making some of y'all nervous on that one. But you can be a successful Christian. And by the way, let me go ahead and stop right here. I've been poor and I've been not poor, and I'd rather not be poor than be poor. And that's not a sin, by the way. And it's not a sin for a Christian, a Bible-believing, Bible-practicing Christian, to be rich. There's some good, rich Christians, and thank God for them because they support the ministry. Come on. See, I couldn't preach that to this crowd this morning. They wouldn't only not come back tonight, they wouldn't come back next week or the next either. Listen, but you can be rich and be a Christian. You can be healthy and be a Christian. And then not only that, but look at verse 11. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Now, is that not exactly what the Apostle Paul, the Holy Spirit told him to write down in Hebrews chapter 12? God chasteneth every son whom he receiveth. And he said, your earthly father whipped you because he loved you. Don't you think your heavenly father will whip you even so much the more so? You want to know why I don't whip some of the youngest come to this church? They ain't mine. And it's not my responsibility. Well, I better take that back. I have done that. But they ain't mine. It ain't my responsibility. And listen to this. As much as I love other people's children, I love my children. And I'm going to tell you the truth. Y'all would have thought I was a child abuser or something. There'd many times going to church in that old 1978 Cutlass, big old sitting on the couch type car going to church in New York on Sunday. Several times I pulled over and picked me a switch and pulled my youngins or youngin' out on the side of the road and gave them a good spanking. Come on. Oh, y'all ain't never done that, have you? Amen. Amen. CJ's going, yeah, I have too. Yeah, I have. She ain't never had a whipping, has she? Just one. That was enough. I'd be going down the road driving the car. We'd be on the way to church, you know, before I started driving the bus, you know. We'd be on the way to church, and I'd be driving down the road, and I'd be going, sit down, shut up back there. Don't you know we're going to church? You're supposed to. And then we'd get out of the car and walk in church like wasn't nothing wrong. Just walk right in church. Well, why would anybody put up with that if they didn't love their children? You want to know why people abandon their children? They don't want to go through all that work. Why don't they want to go through that work? They don't love them like they ought to. You see, giving away your children is not about you can't mentally, emotionally handle it. The thing is, you don't have the love you ought to for your children. Or you'd keep them. And you'd raise them. And you'd sacrifice for them. And part of that sacrifice is chastening. Whether it be a switch or a fly swatter or my mama's broom handle. Or putting them in the room, locking them in the room, saying you ain't coming out until you straighten up. And by the way, take away their toys. No phone, no television, no radio. No computer. These teenagers are getting nervous now. Look at them. Listen, a stranger wouldn't do that to somebody else's children. You're only chasing your children because you love them and you don't want them to die and go to a devil's hell or early grave. So therefore, you will chasten them because, one word, they are loved. Now thank God, as children of God, I'm loved. You might not like me. I know the devil don't like me. The devil's crowd don't like me. I've been lied on, called every name you could be accused of. I've been accused, I said it before, doing everything but stealing black babies and painting them white. I've been accused of everything. But I'm going to tell you something, I've also been loved. God the Father loves me. And how do I know? Because he's taken me to the woodshed several times. And he said, I wouldn't do this if I didn't love you. The devil don't whip his children. He don't care nothing about them. So look, you can be healthy, you can be wise, you can be rich, and you can be loved. And then last but not least, look at verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and a man that getteth understanding. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, for the natural man understandeth not the things of spirit, for they are spiritually discerned. That means understood. People tell me, they'll say, preacher, I read the Bible, I can't understand it. I say, you need to get born again. What? I joined the church. I said, yeah, but you need to get born again. What? I got baptized. Yeah, but you're not going to understand the Bible until you are spiritually born again, and then you can understand the Word of God. Now, that doesn't mean we understand everything, but we understand what we need. If you hang around long enough, you'll learn more. And you know what that does? That, it says, happy is that man. Happy is that man. Now, I always wanted to know the truth. I've always wanted to know the truth. I think you have. You wouldn't be here tonight. I've always wanted to know the truth. Don't lie to me. I'd rather you tell me the truth and hurt my feelings than to lie to me. And later on, I found out you lied to me, and that'll hurt my feelings worse. Just go ahead and tell me the truth. Hurt my feelings. Get it over with. Billy will. He's done it before. I'll be preaching over here. Billy said, why was you pointing at me, preacher? But look, tell me the truth. I wanted to know the truth. I've always wanted to know the truth. Boy, I've read and searched and studied trying to find the truth as I grew up. My generation was all about trying to find the truth. All that hippie stuff, that was because our parents, our grandparents didn't teach us the truth. We were searching for the truth in all the wrong places, trying to find the truth. There's something deep inside of a person that they search for the truth. And Jesus said, I am the truth. And he said, happy is the man that findeth it. You know, a lot of Baptists need to notify their faces that they have found the truth because they look like they found a persimmon. Amen? They look, you ain't never had a persimmon, have you? Got to get you some. They just got ripe. Y'all get him one. They just got ripe. Listen, a lot of Baptists claim to be saved on their way to heaven. Some of them keep these laws and these rules, and some of them dress right, and some of them talk right, and some of them spit white. Y'all know what that is, don't you? You ain't chewing the back or snuff. And some of them living, as far as we can tell, they're living just as right and close to God as you can get. They carry a big old King James Bible. They go to church every time the doors are open. They go to Sunday school. They read their Bible. They pray. They witness. And they look and act like the most miserable people on planet Earth. Why would anybody want what they got? I remember I used to look at Christians before I got saved, and I thought, boy, that's a hard life. Look how bad they look. They walk around just look sad and disappointed all the time. Listen, if you have found the truth in the Lord Jesus Christ through the Word of God, you ought to be so happy you can't understand it. Did you know there's people in Afghanistan and Pakistan and Syria and all over the Middle East and all over the Far East like China, and they're searching for the truth and they can't find it because they don't have a Bible preaching church. They don't even have a Bible. They have nobody to witness to them, and they want to know the truth, and they're looking at Confucius, and they're looking at Islam and all those other false teachers, and they're trying to live a religious life, and they're miserable. They're just miserable. I'm going to have to borrow a Bible and set it over here. They're just miserable. That's what they are. They're just miserable. This is what you do at church right here. Move over. Move over. There you go. All right. That's what you do between boy and girl dating at church. Put a Bible between them. Amen. Amen. And that's the truth. Listen, I found the truth. But the truth found me first. In March the 5th, 1978, when I invited Jesus Christ to come into my heart and my life, all of a sudden I had wisdom I never had. And I had happiness I never had. And I had understanding I'd never had. And I walked out of that church that day, man. I was just about skipping. I wasn't doing it because I was too proud, though. But if I hadn't been so proud, I would just go, hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. Woo! And of course, they didn't do that at that church. But if they had, Sister Jean, I'd have done it. But I didn't know you could do it back then. But boy, I was so happy. And I went home and I started telling people, I found it. I found it. I found what I've been looking for. You ought to come down there and get you some. I didn't know how to tell them what I found. I didn't know any Bible yet. But I thought, boy, if you just get down there, that old preacher will preach you the truth, and you can hear the truth like I've heard the truth, and it'll set you free. And when you walk out of there, you'll go home, pour the beer down the sink like I did, and you'll pour the liquor down the sink like I did, and that crowd will desert you, they'll leave you alone, and you'll be a happy camper. Whew. We'll be the happiest people in town. Amen. Amen. Preacher, I ain't got no money. I didn't read nothing about having money to be happy. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. And as we study the book of wisdom in Proverbs, you'll find out that money is not what gives you wisdom nor produces happiness. And stuff does not produce happiness. Wisdom does. Understanding does, but you can't know that until you know Him. And if you'll ever come to know Him the way some of us know Him, you'll be happy. Budweiser will go out of business. Jim Beam have to lock up the doors. That pot seller down there you've been so friendly with, they'll have to go on food stamps. Amen? Why? Because you won't need anything to make you happy. Amen? You'll have Jesus, and that's the greatest gift on God's green earth. Look, you can be healthy. You can be wealthy. You can be wise. You can be loved. And you can be happy. And listen, if you're not, you made a choice not to be. On every one of those. If you're not, you made a choice not to be. You made a decision. And you know what you can do with decisions? Change them. You always change them. I preached that sermon, hit the reset button. God's got a reset button. We can hit it every day if you have to. Every day you can hit that reset button. The mercies of the Lord are renewed every day. Every day. And you can be happy every day. You can be one of those people that's going through hell on earth and you look over at them and they smile and you say, what are they smiling about? Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Don't be a failure. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Don't get discouraged. Don't quit. You've got the truth. It sets you free. Walk in it. Enjoy it. Let's stand. Father, I don't know everybody here. I don't know everybody's heart. I just know mine.